All right, folks, good morning to you. It's great to be here with you this morning and to share with you this final message from 1 Samuel 17 about the story of David and Goliath. You know, I hope it's been encouraging to you because we all face giants from time to time in life, and too often those giants, they look like the favorite, you know. And if people were betting, even many people that love us and care about us would say, "Boy, that foe is too large. That foe is too fierce. That foe certainly has the upper hand." But the story of David teaches us that in many times of life, if we trust in God, we can not only follow God's will, but we can also enjoy God's victory. You know, sometimes we can face things that are so difficult with faith and assurance in God in such a way that when the victory comes, there's no doubt that the victory is there because of Christ, because of our faith in Jesus. You know, even standing up here this morning with these ladies that are going to be taking over different aspects of the ministry here at First Church, it's like wow. You know, you think about change and you think about the future, but then when you bring God into the equation, it's absolutely amazing what he's able to do. He can take surefire defeat and turn it into a marvelous victory. You know, I remember when I was a youngster, I loved to play baseball, and I remember one particular game. Our team was, we were up against one of the better teams. I don't know. I guess as stories grow over the years, you know, they were the best team. They were head and shoulders above everybody else. I'm not sure if that's exactly the way it was, but I do remember playing in a baseball game when I was a youngster against a team that everybody thought that they were going to win. And lo and behold, I stepped up in the bottom of some inning, and I hit a home run, and it put us ahead. And I remember the exhilaration of that moment, only to be knocked down a couple innings later when it started to rain and the game was called and they erased the score and we had to start over. And I must tell you, it's always a whole lot more fun to hit a home run to win the game than it is to strike out three times in the game and lose. Okay? And we've all experienced both of those things. But here's the thing, folks, when you're thinking about and you're talking about this story of David and Goliath, when this victory happened, when all was said and done, what was the response? I'm not just talking about the response of David, the response of the Israelites. I'm talking about what was the response of the enemy? What was the response of all the people around? Well, I think you can find this in 1 Samuel 17, starting with verse number 40. Let me show it to you here, and let's look at it together. It says, "Then he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with a sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bare in front of him, kept getting closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, 'Am I a dog that you came out to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. 'Come here,' he said, 'and I'll give your flesh to the birds and to the wild animals.' David said to the Philistine, 'You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled.' This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and to the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward him, toward the battle line, to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and he killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath, to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Serim road to Gath and to Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem. He put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. Wow. What a story. And if you were thinking about what this story is all about, it's really all about victory. All about victory. You know, sometimes I think that we spend much more time on our defeats than we do on our victories. But it's our victories that define our future, while our defeats always look to our past. You know, you think about this. You know, think about the love of your life. I mean, do you spend your time today talking about all the girls that didn't make the cut? You know, do you go around bragging on all the ones that said no or walked away or it didn't work out with? Or do you talk about that one enormous victory? You know, yesterday we said goodbye to a beautiful person here at First Church, Todd Little. Todd Little was laid to rest yesterday, and right here in this worship area, we had his funeral yesterday afternoon, visitation for a few hours with his family. There were literally hundreds and hundreds of people came through our church to speak to his family. But you know what? You know what I thought about most of all? I thought about sitting around the dining room table talking to Todd's widow, Caroline, and her telling me their love story. He was 14, she was 15, and she said that was the beginning of a lifelong love. And I must tell you that I was so encouraged hearing about their love story. And I was so encouraged by that, and I sat around the dining room table and heard this story in the presence of their children, and I could tell that love story impacted their children in a great way too. You see, that's the way the victories are that God gives us. We need to focus on the victories that He's brought our way so much more than the defeats that we have experienced. Here, let me give you a few reasons why from the story of David. Number one, victory sends our enemies running. I mean, victories send our enemies running. So much of this series up until now, we've been talking about, you know, Goliath the giant, and Goliath and his size, and Goliath his sword bearer, and Goliath and the army. And we've been talking about all of these threats that Goliath brought and how enormous these threats were. But here at the end of the story, we must focus on the victory, because their champion was now dead. And what happened? They lost all hope. And for us as Christians, our victory in Jesus Christ is secure. That we do not talk about how death overcame him. We talk about how he overcame death. Death, where is thy sting? Death, where is thy victory? Whereas the grave was a great mystery to many over the centuries, it is not a mystery to us because Jesus has won that victory, and our greatest enemy, even death itself, is on the run. It's really similar to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 in verse number 19. Look, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Store up your treasures. How about store up your victories? How about store up those things that God has helped you overcome? You see, the Philistines, they stored up their treasures in a human champion, in Goliath. But when he exited the scene, they were completely lost. And the good news is that we have a God that is not only personal and how he deals with us, but God is still working today. And he's working for our good and for his glory. You see, we all have times like this in our own life. All of us could give personal testimonies of God's faithfulness, as he's always been powerful and secure in our lives. You know, just a couple of months ago, I was down visiting in my hometown. And as I was on my way back, as I was going through a little place called Stickleyville, Virginia. Look it up. You'll have a hard time finding it on a map, but it's there. I remembered as I was driving through there, I thought, man, oh man, Arlene and I, we first started our ministry right down this road. Little church. Actually, my government high school teacher was a part of a little church out in the country there, and they were without a preacher, and she knew that I was in college for ministry, and she asked me if I could, if I would possibly come and preach for them. Arlene and I wasn't even married now, then, so I know it's been, you know, 40-some years ago, and so I said, oh, I got a minute. I drove down that road. It's so funny because I remembered the church, but I wasn't sure quite how far it was, but I drove and I drove and I drove, and I finally came on the church, and I said, well, that's not it. I said that because it didn't look the same, because one of the distinct memories that I have there, and I hate to bring up defeats in the life of Arlene, but she fell down the front steps of this church out into the yard one day. After church, you know, we walked to the back to greet everybody, and, you know, here's Arlene. She's probably 17 years old, and we walk back, and she trips, and she falls down these steps, and quite elegantly, I might add. But when I was back there just a few weeks ago, the front had changed. There was now this ramp that went up to the side of the church that you didn't have to go down and up the steps to get into the church. I actually called her on the phone. I actually FaceTimed her, and I said, look, honey, look what they put in at this little church just for you. I said, we could come back here now in our old age and we could get into the building without much trouble. Isn't it amazing how it's so easy to remember those kinds of falls, or at least somebody else's fall. But you know what? As I stood there, and I actually looked in the front door of this little church, didn't look like it changed much at all. But I remembered back to some times when people found freedom in Christ in that place. It wasn't just about falling. It was about victory. You see, when David and the Israelites looked on this story of David and Goliath, it wasn't just about falling. It wasn't about fear. It was about victory and how victory sends the enemies of God running. You see, this is the promise of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We're all familiar with it. What does it say? We know that in Christ, All things works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We may experience seasons that we don't know where God is and how God's working. But let me let you know, folks, from personal experience, and you can dive back into your history and you can find these times as well. He's still working for you. Here's the second thing about victory from this passage. Real victory gives God the glory. Isn't that amazing? It would have been so easy for David to say, you know, look what I did. Everybody, all you other guys, hey, my brothers even, you guys were all scared to face him. I wasn't scared. I knew of God. I knew of God's power. I knew that God was going to be with me. And he stepped out in this tremendous amount of faith in spite of everyone else's fear. But even when the victory came, he did not take the glory. He gave all the glory to God. You see, folks, when you think about this, it is so really important. Because I've told you over and over again in this series how God gives the victory, how he deserves the glory. But too often we as people, we kind of turn that inward, and I think it's because of our ego that we try to take some of that glory for ourselves. That we're kind of like those instances in the New Testament where they said they gave it all, but they kept some of it back. And I think there's many times that we do that. Look at verse number 52 of 1 Samuel 17. I love this passage. He says, "Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn along the Sherem road to Gath and Ekron." Now just picture this for a moment. David's the only one that has the faith and the dedication to take this giant on. But all of a sudden the giant is dead and the victory's won and he's lost his head. And the whole army's like, "Oh, okay, let's jump in here and take part in this victory." But folks, the only part of any victory that we should be a great part of is giving God the glory. Here in that passage, if you look here, it says that they surged forward with a shout and they pursued the Philistines. That word there for shout, it's an interesting one. It's actually a battle term, speaking about both spiritual and physical battles we face. It's mentioned in another place in Psalm 108. But what it's saying is that the army, all of a sudden, everything that they didn't think they had, they now know that they have. But not through their own strength. They understand that God had given them this victory. Psalm 108, verse 10, notice what it says. He says, "Who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? It is not you. Is it not you, God? You who have rejected us and no longer go out with our armies? Give us aid against the enemy, for human help is worthless. With God we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemy." How about this word in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2? I love it. "I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Because his help and his strength are ours, we can pursue our giants and we can win our victories. But when we see our enemies retreating, we must stop and give God the glory. If you look back in 1 Samuel 17 in verse 53, again, he says, "When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp." So that leads me to this other last thought about victory. Because victory requires us to finish the job. You know, when was David's job finished? Was it when he summoned up the faith to face the giant? When he was before the giant and the giant defied his God and he defied that giant? Was it when he picked up those 5 smooth stones and put them in his pouch? Was it when he took his sling and he walked out onto the battlefield? Was it the moment that Goliath started charging him and instead of retreating, the Bible says that he ran out to meet him? Was it when he put that stone in the pouch, or was it when he let it fly, or when it sank deep into the forehead of the giant and the giant fell over dead? Was that when the victory was won? Was the victory finally over when he stood over the giant and took his own spear, his own sword, and beheaded him? Or was it when he brought the head into the city to show all the people that the Goliath the giant was dead? See, there's an awful lot to this story, wasn't it? It really wasn't over until they enjoyed the plunders that came from their victory. You think about it, folks. Someone named Karen Harden, she said, quote, "Historically, whenever there has been a time of transition, there's been an opportunity and anointing to take the plunder. Plunder that which has been stolen and which someone else now holds, but it is actually a provision to pay for the transition." You see, God gave them this plunder because much of it was things that the Philistine army had stolen, maybe even from the Israelites. But God gave them this victory and told them to take this plunder and to use it. Use it to benefit the people of God. So here's what we have to see, folks, from this story. The Israelites did not stop until they crossed the finish line. They plundered the camp. They overtook the enemy. And they enjoyed the spoils that came from it. You see, folks, Jesus Christ has won our victory. But we have not crossed that finish line yet. I mean, think about it. When this life is over, we're going to be giving something that we don't deserve, that we didn't earn. That's kind of like the plunder of eternity. I mean, God's going to give us this wonderful existence, this wonderful life, forever and ever in His kingdom, in that perfect place, and absolutely none of us deserve it. But you know, the Bible talks about finishing well, talks about keeping the faith until the end, talks about not giving up. And sometimes we give up even after we've enjoyed great victories. You know, in week 1, we learned about the challenger that David faced. There's numerous parallels between Goliath and who he was and who the devil is in our lives today. And in understanding one, you can better fight the other. In week 2, we looked at David, the man after God's own heart, who in all things gave God the glory in his life. And throughout this story, we see how David was completely dependent in God and full in faith. And then last week, ever so briefly, we saw how David needed to be victorious in the battle against Goliath. And today, we see what comes about after we win that victory. You see, I think that the one last portion of the scripture that we just need to make sure that we highlight, it comes from 17 verse 45 through 47. This is what it says. The Philistine says, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the wild animals, and the world, the whole world, will know that there is a God in Israel. Listen, I close with this. Think about this. The threat that Goliath gave to David is that I'm going to serve your carcass to the wild animals. But the truth that David gave Goliath is that I'm going to serve you and your whole army to the wild animals. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference between the defeat that the giant wants to bring to us and the victory that God wants to give us? The victory that came from God was complete. Consider this line: all will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. This story of David and others throughout the Word of God from beginning to end is stories of how God uses improbable people to bring about extraordinary victories. He does this so that there is no question who is responsible for the victory. May we never take the credit. May we never take the praise. May we just enjoy the spoils of victory. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we know that there will always be another Goliath in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we will just see that as an opportunity to experience another great victory by your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.